This message comes from NPR sponsor, the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy. Plus, get access to a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Details at CapitalOne.com.
I'm Bob Boylan from All Songs Considered. The following is the audio from our latest Tiny Desk concert. To see the video, subscribe to the All Songs Considered Tiny Desk Concert podcast or go to npr.org/tinydeskconcerts.
Wow, this is a lot of people in a tiny office. I love it. I'm Taylor. Welcome to my Tiny Desk concert. Wow, it's great to be in DC. You guys had anything exciting going on the last couple weeks? Or any possible changes in play? Do us a favor. Give a round of applause to NPR for putting this whole thing on. Tiny Desk is like one of my favorite corners of the internet. And I always love seeing, like, it's an opportunity for artists to decide a different way to showcase their music. And so you're kind of inundated by overwhelming opportunity and choices. Like, I just decided to kind of take this as an opportunity to show you guys how the songs sounded when I first wrote them. So it's just me. There's no dancers, unfortunately. So, you know, I have this album that just came out called Lover. Real happy you like it. It's one of those albums where I wrote everything on one instrument first. So it's really fun to pick songs to do acoustically because they all started out that way. And there's a song that I had wanted to write conceptually for a very long time because over the course of my life, it has occurred to me that we have a bit of a double standard issue in our society. It's something I've thought about 700 million times a day for the last 10 years of my life. And I was always just wondering, like, can I write a song about this? Is there a concise and catchy way to write a song about this? What angle would I take if I were to write a song about this? And so I decided the most fun thing to do would be to imagine what my life would be like and what people would say about my life if I did all the same things, but if I was a man. I would be complex. I would be cool. They say I played the field before I found someone to commit to. And that would be okay for me to do. Every conquest I had made would make me more of a boss to you. I'd be a fearless leader. I'd be an alpha type. When everyone believes ya, what's that like? I'm so sick of running as fast as I can. Wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again. Cause if I was a man, then I'd be the man. I'd be the man. I'd be the man. They'd say I hustled, put in the work. They wouldn't shake their heads and question how much of this I deserve. What I was wearing, if I was rude, could all be separated from my good ideas and power moves. And they would toast to me, oh, let the players play. I'd be just like Leo in Saint-Tropez. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can. Wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again. Cause if I was a man, then I'd be the man. I'd be the man, yeah. I'd be the man, yeah. like to brag about breaking in dollars and getting bitches and models. And it's all good if you're bad, it's okay if you're mad. If I was out flashing my dollars, I'd be a bitch, not a baller. They paint me out to be bad, so it's okay that I'm mad. I'm so sick of running as fast as I can, wondering if I'd get there quicker if I was a man. And I'm so sick of them coming at me again. If I was a man, then I'd be the man. I'd be the man, yeah. Oh, I'd be the man. Oh. 'Cause I'm so sick of them coming at me again. 'Cause if I was a man, I was a man, then I'd be the man.
Thanks, guys. So there's a song that I wrote on the album that I knew as soon as I wrote it was going to be the title track. And it was like, writing songs is strange because it never happens exactly the same way, but sometimes it happens in a way that feels like this weird, like, haunting that you can't really explain. Like, you don't know where these ideas came from, and you feel like you didn't work at all to write it, and that's the best part. That's, like, the best kind of song. And then there are most days you show up and the idea doesn't, and that's where craft, you have to kind of know the craft of it, and you have to try to, like, scrounge your brain for something to write, because you're not always going to be inspired, and that's okay. There's a really good Elizabeth Gilbert TED talk about that. That is, like, one of my favorite things to, like, cry while watching. But yeah, like, with this song, it was one of those weird moments where I was just like, okay, this is just middle of the night. I'm, like, in my PJs, like, stumbling to the piano because I got this idea. And the song just happened really quickly. There's a line in the song that I'm really proud of. And the line says, "With every guitar string scar on my hand, I take this magnetic force of a man to be my lover." And that line is really special to me because I've spent quite a bit of time writing breakup songs. And songs about things not turning out the way you wanted them to, or songs about what you thought would be love and it turned out to not be that at all, or, you know, just kind of the struggle of life. I find songwriting is really just like a cathartic, therapeutic thing for me. And so there are a lot of things I've written about in my life that were like the harder things I've had to go through. So I took that as a metaphor for, like, you know, the times when I was learning to play guitar and I'd, like, play till my fingers bled when I was a kid, and I still have those marks from that. And, you know, all the times I'd be, like, changing a string and it would pop, and I still have scars from that. But it's also a bigger metaphor for, like, in life, you accumulate scars, you accumulate hurt, you accumulate moments of, you know, learning and disappointment and struggle and all that. And if someone's going to take your hand, they'd better take your hand, scars and all. So this is called Lover. Christmas lights up till January. This is our place. We make the rules. And there's a dazzling haze, mysterious
about you, dear. Haven't known you 20 seconds, 20 years. Can I go where you go? Can we always be this close? Forever and ever, you take me out and you take me. Lover. We could let our friends crash in the living room, 'cause this is our place, we make the call. And I'm highly suspicious that everyone who sees you wants you. I loved you 3 summers now, honey, but I want them all. Can I go where you go? Can we always be this close? Forever and ever and I. Take me out, take me. Ladies and gentlemen, will you please stand? With every guitar string scar on my head, I take this magnetic force of a man to be my lover. And my heart's been borrowed, yours has been blue. All's well that ends well to end up with you. Swear to be overdramatic and true to my lover. And you'll say all your dirtiest jokes for me. And at every table, I'll save you a seat. Can I go where you go? Can we always be this close? Forever and ever, take me.
Ever had costume changes at Tiny Desk? So over the course of the years that I've done interviews, which is I think probably about like 15 or 16 years now, I've gotten a question over and over again that I think has the like potential to seriously deteriorate my mental health. The question is, what will you ever do if you get happy? Like, what will you write about? Will you just never be able to write a song again? It's an interesting question. And, you know, in the, like, interviews, when I would get that question as a young person, and I'd kind of be like, well, I started out writing songs about stuff I had no idea about. Like, I started writing songs when I was 12 years old, and they were usually about, like, heartbreak. I had no idea what I was talking about, but I had watched movies and I had read books, and so I would grab inspiration from character dynamics, as you do.
And so I would say in the interviews, like, I'd probably just do that. Like, if stuff is going on in the world that's not just happening to me, like, maybe I could get inspiration from that. But then I'd go home and I'd be like, what would happen if I was ever happy? Like, would I not be able to do the thing that I love the most in the world? Like, would that, is that, oh my God. Would I not be able to write breakup songs anymore? I love breakup songs. They're so fun to write. And so then I happened to be writing this album, Lover, which is a very, very happy, romantic album. And I started, like, in my life, a few of my friends were going through breakups, and we were talking. It's like those kinds of breakups where you need to talk to your friend all the time because they need to talk about it all day, every day. So I was having a lot of conversations about breakups. I watched movies that were really, like, well done about breakups. In some of the books I was reading, there were some good breakups happening. And so this all culminated in me, like, waking up one day with all these, like, heartbreak lyrics in my head, and I was like, it's still here! Yes! So I ended up writing a song that was a breakup song on the Lover album, and I was like, this song is my proof that, you know, don't have to stop writing songs about heartache and misery, which for me is incredible news. So this is called Death by a Thousand Cuts.
Death by a thousand cuts, flashbacks waking me up. I get drunk, but it's not enough, cause the morning comes and you're not my baby. I look through the windows of this love, even though we boarded them up. Chandelier's still flickering here, cause I can't pretend it's okay when it's not. It's death by a thousand cuts. Dressed to kill my time, I take the long way home. I ask the traffic lights if it'll be alright, they say I don't know. And what once was ours is no one's now. I see you everywhere, the only thing we share is this small town. You said it was a great love, one for the ages. But if the story's over, why am I still writing pages? Death by a thousand cuts, flashbacks waking me up. I get drunk, but it's not enough, cause the morning comes and you're not my baby. I look through the windows of this love, even though we boarded them up. Chandelier's still flickering here, cause I can't pretend it's okay when it's not. My body, my love, trying to find a part of me that you didn't touch. Gave up on me like I was a bad drug. Now I'm searching for signs in a haunted club. Our songs, our films, united we stand. Our country, yes, it was a lawless land. Quiet my fears with the touch of your hand. Paper cut stings from a paper thin dance. My time, my wine, my spirit, my trust. Trying to find a part of me it didn't take up. Gave you too much, but it wasn't enough. But I'll be alright, it's just a thousand. I get drunk, but it's not enough, cause you're not my baby. I look through the windows of this love, even though we boarded them up. Chandelier's still flickering here, cause I can't pretend it's okay when it's not. No, it's not. It's death by a thousand. Traffic lights, if it'll be alright, they say I don't.
have three that I don't care. So I was trying to think of what songs to do for this, and you get like, I think you get like four, so I was just like, and so I was thinking about how it's autumn, and that's like my favorite season, and people on the internet have been like kind enough, like in and amongst the people who care about my music have been kind enough to associate autumn with one of my albums called Red. And, you know, I guess it's just a very like autumn-y album. And so I was thinking about that, like how it's so nice, the crisp fall air is happening. And, you know, I don't Google myself ever. I recommend you not do it either. But my dad does. And he like will send me links to things, and every once in a while I'll see them, and that's the only way I get my news. But he sends me these lists that are like very nice, like ranking my songs, which that's really nice of people to do. I really love that people do that, and I find it really nice, and I'm grateful that people care enough to rank my songs. There's one song that like I'm particularly proud of, because when the Red album came out, there was this one song on the album that I was like, I'm the only one who loves this song this much, but it's only because it happened to me and it was personal. It's, no one else is gonna like All Too Well as much as like. And when it came out on the album, like slowly but surely over the course of that album's life and then beyond, you know, you guys have made that song something that was way more than I ever thought the life of that song would be. And, like, I've just had so much fun playing it in concert and, like, screaming it with you guys. Like, and, yeah, so the fact that the song went out into the world and you guys, like, made it so that it's, like, always, I think it's usually number one on any list that's, like, saying what my songs are, which is great. And I'm happy that, like, my opinion lines up with your opinion on that, because that was probably my favorite song on Red. And so I figured that maybe I would play it for you. Before I do play it for you, I just wanted to say thank you so much for having me. This is really amazing to get to do this, and I'm honored that I was invited. And the fact that this many people would want to cram into a space, I understand the sacrifices that have been made for me today. So, here's a sad song about fall.
I walked through the door with you. It was cold. Something about it felt like home somehow, and I left my scarf there at your sister's house, and you've still got it in your drawer even now. But your sweet disposition, my wide-eyed gaze, was singing in the car, getting lost upstate. Autumn leaves falling down like pieces into place. I can picture it after all these days. And I know it's long gone, and that magic's not here no more. And I might be okay, but I'm not fine at all. Ran the red cause you were looking over at me. Wind in my hair, I was there. I remember it all too well. album on the counter. Your cheeks were turning red. You used to be a little kid with glasses in a twin size bed. Your mother's telling stories about you on the t-ball team. You told me about your past, thinking your future was me. I know it's long gone and there was nothing else I could do. I forget about you long enough to forget why I needed you. Cause there we are again in the middle of the night, dancing around the kitchen in the refrigerator light. Down the stairs, I was there, I remember it all too well. This thing was a masterpiece till you tore it all up, running scared. I was there, I remember it all too well. And you call me up again just to break me like a promise, so casually cruel. In the name of being honest, I'm a crumpled up piece of paper lying here. Cause I remember it all, all, all. By it, I'd like to be my old self again, but I'm still trying to find it. After plaid shirt days and nights when you made me your own, now you mail back my things and I walk home alone. But you keep my old scarf from that very first week, cause it reminds you of innocence and it smells like me. You can't get rid of it, so you remember it all too well. Cause there we are again when I loved you so. Back before you lost the one real thing you've ever known. It was rare, you were there, you remember it all too well. All down the stairs, you were there. You remember it all. It was rare. You were there. You remember it all too well.
On It's Been a Minute, we're keeping you in the know when it comes to culture. I break down the latest trends and the forces behind them and introduce you to the creatives who think deeply about how we live today. Come for some good old cultural analysis and have a few laughs with me. Listen to the It's Been a Minute podcast from NPR.
The Indicator from Planet Money is a daily podcast that helps you make sense of what's happening in the economy. And video games are a growing slice of that economy, with billions of people around the world identifying as gamers. That's why we're dedicating a week-long series to the growing business of video games. Listen to the Indicator for Planet Money podcast on NPR.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we have very important people on our show and then ask them about very unimportant things. Here's U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen.
We are also reliably informed
that among your enthusiasms, in addition to macroeconomic policy, is mobile games.
There is some truth in that.
There's some truth in that. Join us for the NPR podcast that considers all the other things. That's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.